and so obviously there's no one definition of what they look like. They vary as a function of the communities they serve. But how flexible that definition is sometimes comes into question, as it did this year with Seaside FM's agreement with the Canadian Armed Forces. Seaside FM is a community radio station based in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and is self-described easy listening. Okay, would you mind saying something for me, anything?
It's really a cold day.
Hello and welcome to 433 with your host Greg Regan on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Today on the program I have a very special guest, Colin McDonald. Colin McDonald is a Vancouver-based saxophonist, composer, and arranger. The expression Jack of All Trades should really be renamed Colin of All Trades, as he is a prolific composer, arranger, teacher, and performer. He has studied the genres ranging from jazz, classical, world music, and Balinese gamelan. He has been a member of the Saxophilia Saxophone Quartet since 1996 and has, since 2006, formed a chamber orchestra, the Colin McDonald Pocket Orchestra. Now, saving the best for last, at least as far as this radio DJ is concerned, Colin McDonald is an alumni of this very radio station, airing the program Are You Serious? For 3 years on CITR. Now, best of all, Colin is a master of all these endeavors. His capacity as a musician and composer will be fully engaged this month alone with three events. First on the list is Colin McDonald Pocket Orchestra, with a program featuring works by Colin himself, Muirhead, Hintersteininger, Elizer, Martland, and Nyman, coming up this Friday, November 1st at 8 o'clock at the Orpheum Annex in Vancouver. Next up on November 2nd, and again at the Orpheum Annex, you can hear Arado Ensemble perform one of Colin's works, Polystonos, in a program highlighting the works of Vancouver-based composers. And last but not least, ChamberCon, presented by the Vancouver New Music and Redshift Music Society, will rally for your attention on November 17th, again at the Orpheum Annex. So I wish people could join me in this welcome. I hope you all do mentally, in welcoming Colin McDonald to the program. Welcome, Colin.
Be here and back in the studio.
I'm sure. These are all familiar controls to you, aren't they?
Indeed. I'm not used to sitting on this side of the desk, though.
Well, maybe we can trade at some point of the program. So, tell me, first of all, what should we anticipate from the Colin McDonald Pocket Orchestra this Friday?
It's sort of a mixed program that we're doing. Some of our own members on the ensemble writing for the group, as well as some of our favorite composers that we like to dig up. Our music is generally in the stream of what we call post-minimalist chamber music, chamber orchestra music. Very rhythmic, very tonal, engaging, fun, and even as my colleague Stefan wrote in the article that came out in the UBC newspaper, it's sometimes a little bit silly.
What were some of your considerations in putting this program together?
Really, this time around, I wanted to show off the different talents of the people in the group, because when I put this ensemble together, it was initially as a vehicle just for my own compositions. I just wanted to write for a larger group of musicians and getting close to sort of a symphonic sound rather than small chamber ensembles. But for this program, I wanted to show off all the various abilities from different musical styles that everybody has practiced with, whether it's pop or jazz or the classical tradition, to the different composers that we have in the ensemble. Almost probably half of the group, I would say, have been involved in composition in some way. And then one of the major pieces that we're performing is a piano feature for a pianist Anna Levy, and she brought this wonderful piece by the Bulgarian composer Bensian Elizer. That's kind of a Bulgarian-themed rhapsody in blue, you could say.
Very cool. And, of course, one of your works is going to be featured on the program as well.
Yeah, it's an older work of mine. I was hoping to get something finished that would be brand new, but time pressure didn't allow me to finish composing. But I've got a work from, I think it was 2004, called Skillful Means, that has a bit of Balinese gamelan influence in it.
Okay, maybe just to ask you more about your composition, of course, and your role as a performer, but which composers have influenced you the most in your own writing?
In my own style, I would say I've been influenced and steal from the most from Michael Nyman, Michael Gordon, and Steve Reich. Those are my top three that I go back to over and over again for ideas and trying to develop my own blend of all their different styles.
And is this the kind of music that, say you were taking the 99 bus to UBC, would you have that sort of plugged in, and would you tune into that? Do you enjoy listening to this?
I listen to it nonstop. My iPod is crammed full of all of these composers, and yeah, it's the music that I listen to for enjoyment as much for inspiration.
Well, maybe let's take a little glimpse into Colin's mind and play one of these pieces on air. What would you like to play first for us?
Well, let's try something from Michael Gordon. This is actually from an album that's a kind of a pop music departure for him, in that it was created entirely in the studio. It wasn't created for a specific ensemble. But it shows also his own influences from popular music and classical music sort of blended together into more of an electronic and studio creation, but with some real instruments as well.
Okay, this is going to be track number one, called Tinge, Todd Reynolds on the violin. And this is Michael Gordon from the album Light is Calling. Thank you. Wonderful. So, this weekend, Colin, you will be both performing one of your works with the Colin McDonald Pocket Orchestra on Friday, and listening to one of your compositions being performed by the Arado Ensemble on Saturday.
Indeed.
So I want to ask you, how do you split the time between your work as a composer and your work as a saxophonist?
That's a tricky balancing act, and I often find that I'm sort of switching back and forth. Like if I know I've got some gigs coming up, I will have to concentrate on practicing a lot more, but if I have commissions or projects that I'm writing for, kind of the saxophone kind of goes under the bed for a while, and I have to focus on the composing by itself. So it's a tricky balancing act to try and maintain both to an equal level.
And I don't know if you've ever seen Colin McDonald, but he I have witnessed one of his concerts this summer, being performed in partnership with the Redshift Music Society, in an event called Da Lontano on Trout Lake. And you were holding a big, was it a baritone sax?
Yeah, it was the baritone sax.
Baritone.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, what is your favorite voice for the saxophone?
Well, I'm pretty happy with all of them. The baritone has quite a satisfying feel to it in just the vibration it sends through your body, those deep, deep vibrations shaking your eyes when you play it.
Is there some sort of a philosophy behind the saxophone? Like, I'm a recorder player. Mm. So in the 15th, 16th century, oh, it's been years now, Jan van Eyck had said that the recorder is an instrument that approaches the sound of birds.
Mm.
So is there a similar philosophy for the saxophone? Do people ever talk about...
Well, people often like to trot out the old adage that the saxophone is one of the instruments that sounds the most like the human voice. But I've heard that about so many other instruments as well. It's kind of meaningless at this point. But, I mean, the original concept for the invention of the saxophone was that it blended the facility and the lightness of a woodwind instrument like a flute or a clarinet with the power and the resonance of a brass instrument. So it's a hybrid that was created to bridge both these worlds of lightness and facility, but also with strength and projection.
Well, should we give a little taste maybe to our listeners with a track from a release of yours?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah, this was my first solo release that I released back in 2011, I think it is now, a couple years back. Just chamber music that I'd written over the years for saxophone. And so I brought it all together and recorded it myself, so you can hear me playing as well on my own compositions here. And it's mostly little just duos and trios in various styles, but all me.
And what track would you like to play?
I thought we could start with Flow Like Water, which is a nice duo for soprano saxophone and piano and has a kind of a recognizable Steve Reich influence.
Let's give it a whirl.
Thank you.
And that was Flow Like Water from the album Circle of Wind by Colin McDonald. By the way, at the very top of the hour, you heard track number 6 from the same record called Prison of Bone. So, I don't mean to monopolize the conversation, but I did want to say something about myself. I moved to Vancouver only a couple of years ago, and that is when I began to attend new music concerts. I quickly began to see familiar faces at these events. So, Colin, maybe I'm going to ask you, could this be an indication that the Vancouver new music scene is a tightly knit community, nurturing composers and performers who are outside of the mainstream?
I think you've hit the nail on the head exactly there. It's Vancouver's still a relatively small city on an international scale, and in terms of new music, contemporary music practice, it's a small community. Everybody knows each other. All the same performers are working for the same composers, as it were. And it's a fairly supportive environment in that everybody's working hard to put their own music on, but also to help each other present each other's different takes on new music and contemporary composition. And trying to find that audience outside of your buddy group is a little harder. So you do see the same faces at concerts all the time. But at least it's comforting that you're in a recognizable environment that way.
So then maybe I can ask you a related question. Do you ever try to compose or write music that would be accessible to a kind of uninitiated audience?
Well, I like to think that my music can be appreciated by people who are not necessarily avid fans of contemporary music specifically. And I think that's part of the gist of the composers that I'm interested in as well, is like trying to have a personal voice but still be welcoming to someone who's new to the music, or who might just have like a cursory knowledge of the classical music tradition. So the composers I was mentioning before, Nyman and Gordon and Reich, and myself, in that same tradition of trying to write what we call classical music, using the music or the instruments from the traditional symphony orchestra, but also bring in influences from pop music or from jazz or from rock, in terms of just the energy of the music, the presentation, whether you're playing with like an amplified ensemble or some of the motives and the stylings of the music itself have a little bit more of that language of other more popular music forms.
Well, then again, and I see this as a kind of a continuation of our discussion about the power of audiences to respond to music, but also the power of the composer to give that music. Now, you seem to have mastered a really wide and eclectic range of genres, ranging from jazz to Balinese gamelan. Does this knowledge reflect on your composition for the saxophone quartet, for example, or for the chamber orchestra? As in, is it idiosyncratic to that particular medium?
Well, all of those influences, I try and find sort of a nugget that's drawing me, and I incorporate it into my own composition. So I studied classical music and the classical orchestral tradition when I was studying saxophone here, and also played jazz in the big band at UBC School of Music. And after my graduation, I took a few world music rhythm classes, because that was just another form of performance that attracted my ear. And the same thing with the Balinese gamelan. There was something about the music itself and playing the music that excited me as a performer. And so when I approach the composition, I think, well, what's exciting me as a player, and what do I want to bring into the music from not necessarily like specific sounds, but more like approaches to composition that I can steal from these other forms. So definitely some of the patterns of Balinese gamelan creep into my music, if not exactly the notes of the gamelan, but some of the textures that I heard and responded to as a player, I like to put into my own pieces.
Should we play something again from the Circle of Wind?
Sure.
What track?
Well, let's highlight the saxophone quartet, since that's sort of a traditional medium, but with my own patterning and minimalist take on it. And this is a track called Prana, the title referring to the yogic term of energy breathing, the prana energy from the breath. And I like to think of playing the saxophone, playing a wind instrument, as a very energetic activity. So this is Prana.
And just to remind our listeners, you are listening to 433, a show dedicated to new music. And today, our guest is Colin McDonald. After this piece, you will hear a few public service announcements, and then we will be back with you on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Without further ado, Prana, Colin McDonald.
Thank you. UBS Food Bank. Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the Food Bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's nonprofit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
CITR and the Vancouver webzine Van Music present 3 nights a week of awesome music from both local and touring bands. Check out Tune Up Tuesdays and Showcase Thursdays at Displace Hashery at 3293 West 4th Avenue, where bands come to jam for a chance to win some great prizes. And don't forget the Indie Pop Vancouver series, happening every Friday at the British Ex-Servicemen Association, 1143 Kingsway. Be sure to come out and support live music.
I'm gonna be round my vegetables, I'm gonna chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable.
Sprouts, it's your 75-cent coffee fix in the sub.
It's your source for reasonably priced, creatively named stew and vegan brownies.
It's your purveyor of bicycle-delivered local produce.
It's also a place where volunteers can realize their vision of responsible business and where like-minded students can explore UBC's food systems.
Hark! Sprouts is currently accepting applications for next year's executive board and is encouraging ambitious, creative, and disciplined students from all faculties and year levels to apply.
Come by Sprouts in the sub-basement to learn more about our projects and how to get involved.
I tried to kick the ball, but my tinny flew right off. I'm red as a beet, 'cause I'm so embarrassed.
And we're back with Colin McDonald in the studio, chatting about upcoming concerts and a lot of activities happening in your corner this month, Colin.
It's been a busy fall. I got to find time to sleep.
Now, besides being an accomplished performer, composer, you are also a UBC alumni. So I was wondering, and maybe to serve as encouragement for all of us current students at UBC, how has your time at UBC shaped, or I don't know, maybe discouragement, I don't know. how has your time at UBC shaped your future direction in musical composition and performance?
Well, I think the great thing about all the resources at UBC is that there's so much to draw on in terms of people and the resources of the libraries and different academic sources and just the campus itself. It provides this great melting pot community for people to start to develop their careers. I was just thinking in the back of my mind as you were talking about my previous tenure as the host of the Are You Serious Music program here, that new music program was started by a composer, Paul Steenhuisen. I think I'm not sure actually if he started it himself or if he inherited it from someone else, but he was one of the first hosts. I ran into him at a concert during the Modulus Festival just this past week. He's now teaching and composing in Edmonton. But he passed that program on to another composer, Jocelyn Morlock, who is now teaching composition at the School of Music here, as well as just being a freelance composer in town. She passed the program on to Jennifer Butler, who was also used to be one of the composition students, or did her graduate composition work at the School of Music, and is now the president of the Canadian League of Composers and lives in Vancouver and still freelances. She passed it on to me, and so the cycle continues. But yeah, there are all these great people come through the resource of the school, and I think that's where a lot of us made our first connections to colleagues that we still work with and we still see around the community here in Vancouver, and we still come back to the school to, you know, perform our own music and meet new up-and-coming performers and composers and welcome them into the community and sort of just develop the whole the musical ecology of Vancouver.
Now, are you keeping in touch with your mentors who have been sort of shaping your future directions? I know, for example, that your former teacher, Julia Nolan, will be performing your work, Polystonos, with the Errato Ensemble this Saturday. Is that right?
Yeah, the coming Saturday, November 2nd. I still am in contact with my former teachers. In fact, Julia and her husband, David Branter, that I both studied with both of them in my time at the School of Music here. I started playing with them in the Saxophilia Saxophone Quartet in 96, so I've been performing with them longer than I ever studied with them, and they played on that recording of Prana we just listened to, as well as other teachers that I had over the years through UBC. I'm still in touch with, like, Fred Stride, who still teaches jazz at the UBC school, and let's see, Laurie Townsend, who's the concert production manager, I'm still in touch with out there, and a lot of teachers have retired since then. It's been, oh God, 20 years since I finished my degree out here, so it's been a little bit of turnover, but yeah.
Well, they obviously passed it on to good hands. So I was wondering, do you have any advice to impart to students currently studying with the music school at UBC, or maybe just the student body in general?
Well, in terms of advice for up-and-coming musicians and artists, I would say find the niche that speaks the most to you and pursue that with a real one-pointed point of view and stick with it as long as you can. It seems like the best knowledge that I've learned over the years is that the most successful artists are those that don't give up and don't stray from their path. So find the thing that motivates you the best and really go for it, because finding a career in the arts is really about, you know, perfecting your skill and mastering your chosen skill, but also finding your voice and finding your uniqueness as a person and how that comes through your art, like that you're creating something that nobody else can do. And so pursuing that to the highest degree is what will allow you to succeed.
Sounds like good advice. Now, I wanted to switch gears a little bit and ask you about another upcoming concert, this time on November 17th.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be ChamberCon, presented by Vancouver New Music and the Redshift Music Society. I was wondering if you can tell us a little bit about it.
ChamberCon is kind of a mini marathon. It's actually a four-hour concert on the afternoon, Sunday afternoon of the November 17th. And it's featuring a number of local ensembles, many of whom who have commissioned new pieces for the concert. And I've actually just completed a short work for the Novo Ensemble that they'll be premiering on that program. And it's sort of just a celebration of some of the newer chamber groups that specialize in new music in Vancouver.
Sounds awesome, actually. Will this be the first sit-down concert you will play in collaboration with Redshift?
Not at all. I've been working closely with Redshift, I think, from the beginning of their formation. I think one of their first official concerts that I performed on was the Vertical Orchestra back in 2004, I think it was. They've been around for just over 10 years now.
Okay, now maybe for for the uninitiated listener, what is Redshift Music Society? What do they do during their concerts?
Well, as a musical organization, the Redshift Music Society is basically the mastermind of composer Jordan Nobles. And he wanted to create sort of a collective of composers in Vancouver to present unusual concerts outside of the traditional concert hall setting. So many of the Redshift performances involve locations that you would normally or wouldn't normally think of as seeing a concert or seeing a new music concert at. So these vertical orchestra concerts I've mentioned have been performed in different venues like the Public Library Atrium or the Vancouver Art Gallery, or even we did one recently in the food court of the Lonsdale Quay in North Van. And the big idea behind those concerts, it's spatial music where the musicians are spread out around the audience, so that it's kind of a surround sound, immersive environment for the audience to listen to these strange ambient compositions.
I think the first time, and actually I think I remember you from there, that I saw Redshift Music Society was with the Vertical Orchestra again,
mm-hmm.
and the concert was called Transpondings.
Right.
And now I'm trying to remember where it was hosted. It was,
I think you saw the one at the Blessin Health Arts Center.
That's right. And this really, really long kind of spirally ramp going up to the fourth floor or something like that had musicians situated at various sort of spaces, and people just walked around and like walked up four floors along this ramp listening to different musicians. And the effect was absolutely magical, transfixing even, because you felt like you were completely part of the musical experience.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the kind of rigid sit-down concert where, you know, your back starts getting sore and everything else. This was music at its very kind of raw experiential phase, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's the other concept with these performances, is allowing the audience the freedom excuse me to move around and experience the music from different parts of the room, to like snuggle up to one instrument that they really like and listen to it more closely before moving away and hearing the songs from a different side, or sort of doing their own mix of the performance as they walk around.
Well, I would strongly encourage anyone currently listening to find out more about ChamberCon. You can also find out more about Colin McDonald and by visiting his website. The website is www.crypticmusic.ca, and this is where you would also be able to find The Circle of Wind, the 2011 self-release by Colin McDonald, of which we heard three tracks on the program already. So, Colin, maybe I can ask you, why is your music so cryptic?
Well, that's my little ironic self-reference, I guess. I call it cryptic music because I think that, especially instrumental music, when you don't have a text, the music is kind of a puzzle. You have to listen to it and find what the pieces are that have meaning for you, and find your own meaning out of the music that way. And also when I compose the music, I sort of construct it like little puzzle pieces that go together.
Crypticmusic.ca. And as we're coming up to the top of the hour, I wanted to remind our listeners that you are listening to 433, a program dedicated to new music with a special guest tonight at the studio, Colin McDonald. And Colin, again, as he had mentioned, had hosted the program from 2002 to 2005. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, it sounds about right. I don't quite remember the exact dates.
Yeah, the program was Are You Serious? I don't know if I should ask you more about that. We have talked a little bit, but I just wanted to ask you, how does it feel? I mean, just emotionally to be back in these very halls. I don't know if people had the occasion to visit CITR. There is a one giant wall here that's pasted with like 1970s comics. And for better or for worse, we're going to be moving in a year to a new student union building. But I feel that this particular space is so embedded with a very rich history of the place and with people, you know, being able to play any kind of music in their right mind. So how does it feel to be back at the station? Do you miss having your own show?
I do miss it. I really enjoyed doing it for the years that I was involved. It was a long commitment. It was Sunday mornings from 9 till noon, a 3-hour slot. So I was often playing in salsa bands on Saturday night, so I'd be up until 3 and then have to wake up 3 or 4 hours later to come do the radio show. So it was a big commitment for me, but I really felt like I had to proselytize and get the new music out into the community. But yeah, it's neat to be back here and recognize everything. It hasn't changed a lot, so maybe you'll have to take that wall of cartoons with you when they tear down this place.
Well, I know we're gonna definitely frame a few bits. It's gonna be like the fall of the Berlin. Okay, I'm not gonna make that kind of reference. Look, I guess we've talked about sort of your short-term projects right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering what's coming up in the long run. I mean, do you have I don't know if this question has a lot of merit, but what are your long-term goals for both your performance and your composition?
Well, I've got more recording projects that I've got lined up to do more CDs. I've definitely got tons of music that I still want to record and get out of my own music as well as other local composers. Right now, just in the sort of the grant writing process of trying to get a project together with the Pocket Orchestra playing for a local choreographer, Joshua Beamish, and his dance company. So we're hoping to do some modern dance next fall if everything comes together.
Sounds great. Well, now we have only a few minutes left of our broadcast, and I suppose I should take the time to really sincerely thank Colin for taking his time out of his very busy schedule to come to CITR, to our studios, and chat with me. I wanted to remind our listeners about some of the concerts coming up. Colin McDonald Pocket Orchestra will be performing Fantasia, music by McDonald, Muirhead, Hintersteininger, Elizer, Martland, Nyman this Friday, November 1st at 8 p.m. at the Orpheum Annex. The Arado Ensemble with Julian Nolan will be performing Polytonos, again Saturday, November 2nd at 8 p.m. at the Orpheum Annex. And Chamber Con, presented by Redshift Music and the Vancouver New Music, will present its program on Sunday, November 17th at 3 p.m. at the Orpheum Annex for their, 4-6-hour marathon?
4-hour.
4-hour marathon. Okay, I don't want to exaggerate. In any case, Colin, thank you so much for taking the time. It's been an absolute pleasure. You're absolutely welcome to come back and co-host the program with me anytime you can find a minute out of your busy day.
Well, thanks, Greg. Thanks for having me. I may take you up on that sometime.
I hope so. We have time just for one more track. So I was wondering if there's anything in particular that you'd like to play on air.
Well, I'd like to play something by Steve Martland. He's one of the composers we're going to be playing in the Pocket Orchestra on Friday. And it's particularly important for me because he is a real influential British composer. And unfortunately, he passed away earlier this year at the age of 53. Just had a heart attack in his sleep and died in his sleep. But his music lives on, and we want to keep the memory of his music alive. So this is a recording of his own band playing a piece called Remix, and he's got a real sort of hard rock jazz feel to his music, very much influenced by the Dutch school.
This will be a wonderful thing to finish off the program. Just to let you know, you have been listening to 433, a program dedicated to new music. If you have any questions about the show, do not hesitate to write me at theoryofhappiness@yahoo.com. Or you can visit my website, www.theoryofhappiness.com, and click on 433 for the latest podcasts. Thank you for listening.